among sinners. We are not slaves to sin anymore. Hallelujah. Oh. Because we have been born again. We are no longer sinners. That is not our title and that is not our identity. But somehow we still do sin. And that builds up walls and barriers between us and God. Between our abilities to hear Him and to draw closer to Him. I had this vision of me standing here and God right here. And this pile of junk being built up between the two of us, making it harder and harder for me to see Him over the top. And a little hard to hear as well, too. And that's the stuff that we have to deal with. Now, church services in general are set up to handle this kind of thing. Just as in all of our weekly services, we begin with two very important prayers. The first one, after the opening acclamation, Father Nick used to call the zipper prayer. And you guys have heard this over and over so many times before. Almighty God, to you all hearts are open, all desires known, and from you no secrets are hid. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name. Through Christ our Lord. To you, all hearts are open, all desires are known, and through you, and no secrets are hid. That's the zipper, opening it up and just letting it all out, you see. And then we follow that up with the confession, the very next thing. Most merciful God, I confess that I've sinned against you in thought, word, and deed. By things I've done and left undone, I've not loved you with my whole heart, I've not loved my neighbor as myself. Let's see, that pretty much covers it all, doesn't it? Things in thought, word, and deed, just in your thoughts, in words and deeds, things you've done, and then things that you didn't do, too. It pretty well covers it all. And the church knows that you need to get rid of that junk, you know? And you need it before you enter into worship here in His presence. Leave the junk at the door. And that's kind of what the beginning of the services do for us. And so we come to this time and we have an entire season to do this, to do the very same thing, is to throw out all the junk. I'm going to tell you a secret. Lent isn't a time for God. What? Lent isn't a time for God. Well, it's not a time for you to try and work hard enough and pray hard enough and fast hard enough because you got 40 days to do it in to finally get Him to forgive you. You don't have to do that. You're not going to manipulate Him. See, sometimes we maybe think that we can just convince Him that if, you know, we're worth saving if we fast whatever it is and we really humble ourselves enough. I think a lot of the church believes that. We think that our relationship with God is kind of like being a give and take sort of thing, you know? Well, if you do this for me, I'll do this for you. But it's not like that. Amanda was sharing with me about, I think it was a preacher from some church on a podcast, right, who talked about the relationship that we have with God. And one way, and I probably won't get this right, but you can think of your relationship one of two ways. Either as a landlord or as a parent. Now, in the landlord way of thinking about God, it's kind of like I'm the renter, you know? And if I pay my money each month and I do the right stuff and I give Him a deposit, you know, I'll get baptized, that's my deposit, you know? Well, then He'll let me live here. Oh, okay, this is nice. And He agrees to take care of the roof and things like that, you know, and the plumbing and fix things when they break, you know, unless you're in His steps. Take care of it all. And then my part is I agree to take care of the place and keep it clean and tidy and do all of that sort of stuff. But then if I fail to pay Him, He has the right to kick me out. And I could just lose it all, you know, and He can not say, not stay here anymore. And there are a lot of our relationships on earth that are exactly like that. Give and take, your employment relationship. You know, well, if you'll work, I'll pay you. You know, if you don't work, I won't pay you. So it's kind of like that, you see. But there is one relationship on earth that isn't like this. And that's a parent and child relationship. Okay. A parent gives a child what they need. They take care of them. And they don't expect anything back. Definitely get things back, believe me. But they don't necessarily expect anything. Don't always give the child what they want, but give you what you need. And that is a better and a more accurate representation of God's relationship with us instead of the landlord relationship. Okay? He gives us what we need. He won't bargain with us and he won't make deals. And he's already forgiven us. But those things that we come up with during our lives, we need to ask him still to forgive when we do stuff wrong. See, Lent is not a time for God. It's a time for you. In Mark 2:27, Jesus is talking to his disciples and he proclaims this incredible statement. He says, the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. And Jesus in that is saying that, you know, God didn't create this Sabbath machine thing that just kind of churns on and, you know, people have to keep feeding it, you know, and so we got to keep it running constantly so that we can keep God happy, so we got to keep the Sabbath every Saturday, you know. No, that's not right. God made the Sabbath for man so that it could feed us a day of rest and a break. And Lent is made for man, not man for the Lent. Lent is made for woman, not woman for the Lent. Okay? See, you really don't have to do anything different with this season except dress in purple. But if you want to draw closer to God and you want to experience more of him, then this is an opportunity and an invitation, which you're actually going to hear in a minute, to do that. A formal invitation, just like, you know, a wedding invitation. You receive this fancy wedding invitation. It comes in the mail and you open it up. It says, you're invited. Well, you're going to be invited here very shortly to a time where you can draw closer to him, where you can get rid of that junk pile and see God clearly. And Ash Wednesday, this night, this day, is here to remind us of our need for God. You know, a lot of us think we got it all together. We can probably handle things on our own. If it stays like this, I'll be able to handle it. Okay? In Luke chapter 18, Jesus is going to tell them a parable, and he said he spoke this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous. Others. And then he went on to say, two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee, the other a tax collector. The Pharisee, the one who was not justified in that parable, trusted in himself and thought that he could take care of himself in his own righteousness. But it was the one who was desperate, who could only beat his breast, who was justified. So trusting in ourselves is not a good idea, but the entire world does it. As people are out there running away from God, they're carrying on this charade of believing that they don't need God. And they go a whole lifetime sometimes with this. People spend millions of dollars throughout their life just to prove that they can handle things just fine without God. But yet for every person, at some point during your life, there comes this time where that self-reliance fails. It may come in little things and it may come in big things. But it can usually be the time when you cry out in desperation, God help me! Sometimes it's followed up with things like, I'll do anything if you'll get me out of this. Which is that fake landlord situation there, you see. You're bargaining with God. It's completely unnecessary because God is a father who loves and cares for you and knows you better than you do. And Ash Wednesday is the time to remember that we are but dust and that we rely on God, that we are completely and totally dependent and reliant upon Him. You see, you need the loving hand of the Father in your life. And this is a time, a wonderful time, to invite you into a season of drawing closer to Him. It's not a time to necessarily, you know, punish yourself or really make yourself just, you know, really uncomfortable, unless that's what's going to bring you closer to Him. But if it means doing something new, then bring that into the mix and let that be the thing that makes you closer, draw closer to Him. But we all sin, and we all need to get rid of that sin. And this is a good time to do it. No time like the present. Why not? Remove the barriers that you've erected between you and God, the barrier of sin, even of busyness. You say, well, I am in sin, but I'm really busy. Sorry. That doesn't get it. Okay. In 1 John chapter 2, verse 16, the apostle sums it up really well, the barriers that we build up between us and God. He says, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And this pretty much sums up and covers all of those things that keep us from God and separate us from Him. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. All of our sins can fall into those three categories right there. And because even if we say that we're just too busy, yeah, I love God, I'm just too busy, well, that's still the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life. You see, God doesn't need Lent. We do. You don't think so? Well, just answer the question that Jesus had. He said, we consider the story of the woman caught in adultery. You know, in John chapter 8, they said to Him, teacher, this woman was caught in the very act of committing adultery. Now, in the law of Moses, He commanded us to stone such women. What do you say? They were testing Him that they might have grounds to accuse Him. But Jesus stooped down with His finger and wrote on the ground. And when they persisted in asking Him, He straightened up and He said to them, He who is without sin among you, let him be the first to throw a stone at her. He who is without sin among you, let him be the first to throw a stone. Jesus cut directly through the trap that they had set for Him and went to the real sin, which was the sin of the trap itself. Jesus knows the heart of every person. So He says, he who is without sin among you, let him be the first to throw a stone, because He knew none of them were without sin. The point is that we all do things from time to time that God is not pleased with, that are not in His will, that we need to turn around from, that we're going away from God in doing. Because we are still subject to the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. So you, who are without sin, are excused from Lent. So this is an invitation for you. A very important time. This is a turning point in your life, perhaps. A time for you to get closer to God. It's a time to remove the plank in your own eye, the barrier of sin in your life. It's time to get rid of the junk pile standing between you and God. And all of our services that we have throughout the year do this in a small way, beginning with a zipper prayer, right? And a confession before God. But here you have an entire season, 40 days, where you can spend more time and better expose any of the obstacles that you may not even be thinking of right now that are keeping you from being closer to God in Jesus. Barriers that keep you from experiencing His grace, His mercy, and His limitless love for you. He doesn't put them there, you do. God doesn't need Lent, but He loves Lent. Because when people participate in Lent, He gets to talk to them. They pay attention to Him. And it's just like a father, and his heart flutters because you turn around and say, God, here I am. So don't do Lent because it's that time of year. Lent benefits you. Do something this Lent that removes the barriers between you and God. Because remember, you aren't made for Lent. Lent is made for you. Amen. Thank you.